live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 11th day of September 2020. Obviously, I think that every Christian today should set aside a portion of the day, even if it be just a brief prayer, on behalf of the family members of victims who perished during the most infamous attack of American citizens on American soil in the history of our nation's existence. Of course, I'm referring to the horrific 9/11 attack upon the World Trade Center and the Pentagon in 2001 on this date, and also the crashing of an airliner in Pennsylvania that was believed to be headed towards some other very important landmark in our nation before brave passengers took down the terrorists and the plane with it to prevent that from happening, even though they realized they were bringing themselves to a certain death. So we ask of you to pray for the survivors, the surviving families of the victims of that horrific event today. But today we are not going to be discussing that. I'll be announcing our guest and topic momentarily. But I also wanted to ask my listeners for special prayer today for somebody who's going to remain anonymous. A friend of mine, finally after a year of my nagging and the nagging of other brothers and sisters in Christ who are hounding this individual to admit himself into a Christian drug and alcohol recovery program. Finally, this individual has done it and has admitted himself into an organization that I cannot sing the praises about, Hebron Colony Ministries in Boone, North Carolina. One of the reasons I can't stop singing the praises about that ministry is that I myself was a resident there somewhere in the neighborhood of a decade ago after falling back tragically into the damnable sin of alcohol abuse. And I thank God that after leaving that wonderful ministry in Boone, North Carolina, Hebron Colony, I have never even once had the inclination or the desire to have a drink. Now, I'm not saying that that is what happens to everyone that goes through the program at Hebron Colony or any other Christian rehabilitation and recovery program. It just so happens that God had mercy on me in that particular way. I'm a sinner in many other ways, but that, for now, is not one of them. And I know that I have to always be wary of the truth that he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So I cannot let myself be prideful over this, but I could just say that I just sing the praises of Hebron Colony. And I ask of you all to pray for this individual who will remain nameless, that he successfully goes through the entire program. And when he is when he has graduated from there, as they call it, they actually have a graduation ceremony if you successfully complete the program, that he returns home a new man and no longer has that sin in his life. And unfortunately, some that leave there have even overdosed and killed themselves from drugs and alcohol, even after going through this program. So we pray that that is not the case with this individual. But please pray for this individual who is in Hebron Colony now. I spoke to Don Holder, I believe it was yesterday. Don Holder is the executive director of Hebron Colony. And he told me this individual is a very well acclimating, if that's grammatically correct, acclimating very well to the program so far. And he is very pleased with everything he has seen and heard from this individual. So we pray that it continues in that vein and even gets better than that. For anybody who wants to either financially support this wonderful ministry, or if you yourself or someone you know or someone you love has an addiction problem, go to HebronColony.org, HebronColony.org. The recovery program for men is in Boone, North Carolina, the really gorgeous mountains of Boone, North Carolina. And they have a facility for women in Santee, South Carolina as well. So HebronColony.org, that's HEBRON colony.org. So either go there for your own needs or your needs or the needs of your addicted friends, family, loved ones, and neighbors, or go there to support them financially, because I'm sure they could use every penny they can get. They are strictly supported by the donations of individuals and churches and parachurch organizations. They do not accept any money from the government or the United Way or anybody else that would have sway into what they do there. So, and it's also the oldest continuously running drug and alcohol recovery program, from a Christian point of view anyway, in the United States. So it began during or perhaps after sometime in the vicinity of World War II, when the conservative Presbyterian pastor who founded Hebron Colony witnessed GIs returning home from the war who were alcoholics. And he had a burden on his heart to reach out to them and see them brought to not only sober lives, but infinitely more important, into a saving relationship with Christ. So it's HebronColony.org, HebronColony.org. Now let me introduce to you my guest today, who is a dear friend, a man whose church where he serves as the pastor, and I got to actually, let me correct that. As our mutual friend Bill Shishko would say, it's not his church, it's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I better correct that. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where my guest serves as under-shepherd. I always look forward to opportunities to spread the word about this church, Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, where my guest recently accepted the call and was installed as their pastor, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who I've had on this program many times, even before he accepted the call at Faith OPC in Fawn Grove. But if you listen to Iron Sharpens Iron regularly, you will know that we have begun recently a new series on the Book of Romans that Dr. Waddington is leading. And this is the second installment of that series on the Book of Romans. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington.
Well, brother, thank you for having me on, and on such an auspicious occasion as the 19th anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Towers and the Pentagon, and as you mentioned, the flight, I think it was Flight 93 that went down to Shanksville.
Yes, right, in very close vicinity of very dear friends of mine who were once, before moving to Pennsylvania, they were once members, longtime members of the church where I was saved on Long Island.
Ah, the I had the privilege just a few years ago to visit the what is now monument, if you will, or a national combination of a national park and a privately run memorial to the downing of Flight 93 in Shanksville, which is north of well, in the greater, I guess, the greater Pittsburgh region of Pennsylvania. Beautiful area of the state, now permanently scarred by the pathway that was dug by the plane that landed upside down, if I remember correctly. It's a moving site. I mean, it's a place where you go. It's like going to Ground Zero. It's hard to have a dry eye when you're visiting that place. So it's a privilege to be back on the program with you, Chris, and to be able to delve into Paul's letter to the Church at Rome, as we mentioned, a letter that's had significant influence in the life of the church over many, many, many years.
And if you could, before we delve into that glorious book, to let our listeners know about Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, where you now serve as their under-shepherd.
Yes, and thank you for the reminder that Bill Shishko passed along that the church is the Lord's. It happens to be where I thankfully serve. Lovely, beautiful location, and you've been here, so you know.
Yes, beautiful rural area of Pennsylvania.
Yes. Yeah. Right on the one half mile from the Mason-Dixon line, the state line of Maryland. Probably at least half of our congregation or more are either present-day Marylanders or former Marylanders who have relocated to the immediate area around, in and around Fawn Grove. So we have we regularly cross the line on a regular basis. We do that, but I'm prayerful that my ministry is one built upon the proclamation and the manifestation of God's word and the grace of God in His Son Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel to save and to change lives, both here and in eternity.
Amen.
Yeah, the church does, as I've mentioned before, this congregation goes back to the fundamentalist modernist controversy of the late 1800s, early 1900s. 1936, it separated from the mainline Presbyterian church nearby. Was independent as a Presbyterian church for its first 28 years, and then in 1964 it aligned with the OPC and was for many years a part of the Philadelphia Presbyterian until about 13 years ago, the Presbytery of Central Pennsylvania was formed, and that's the presbytery in which this church resides. A wonderful fellowship of pastors and elders and members as we support one another in this region. And of course, in this day of the ongoing coronavirus and all sorts of other things going on, the fellowship is great, and it's an encouragement to be serving the Lord in this part of the country. We're a small congregation, but a congregation that loves the Lord, loves His Word, and seeks to be a witness in the greater community, of course, in Fawn Grove itself, and then in the regions beyond.
Amen. If anybody wants to find out more about Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, go to faithopc.net. Faithopc for Orthodox Presbyterian Church.net. Faithopc.net. Well, if you could, since we left off on our last discussion on the Book of Romans, we left off on Romans chapter 1, verse 7, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, therefore, if you could pick up where we left off and read for our listeners, Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 13.
Okay, we'll do that. Before I do that, just to remind ourselves that we are in the introduction to Paul's letter to the church at Rome. It's, and as is typical of letters written at that time, the introduction, which technically are verses 1 through 7, that's typically how it's understood, but even beyond that, as we'll see here, in verses 8 through 13, Paul is continuing what I would consider to be, well, you know, introductory matters, here is Romans 1, 8 to 13, from the pen or from the mouth tongue of the Apostle Paul, transmitted through the quill or the stylus of Tertius, I believe, was his secretary. So, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. So Paul, here in this, in these verses that we are looking at, of course, is explaining to the people how he wants to meet them. He wants to worship with them, get to know them. Now, as we know from the last chapter, chapter 16, while Paul did not plant the church in Rome, and there are, of course, ideas people, scholars, banter about back and forth about how the church was planted at Rome, and one, I think, reasonable explanation is that converts from Rome who were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost returned, having been brought to faith in Christ. They returned to Rome, and then the church got planted that way. So Paul here is saying, you know, while he did know some of the folk who were currently members of the church, he had not planted it and didn't know the group as a whole. And so he's wanting to explain to them that it had been his desire for many years, no doubt, to get to Rome, but had been prevented in God's providence for various and sundry reasons. And later in the letter, he'll come back to this issue and explain how he felt time to come to Rome because he had covered his bases by planting churches throughout the Mediterranean world, including into Europe. And so it was now time to make his way to Rome, albeit not as the last thing, but as an opportunity to establish a base of operations to launch an evangelistic and church planting effort, missionary effort, in other words, into Spain. So he had these plans to meet the Roman Christians, to get to know them, and hopefully to establish there among the Christians in Rome a base of operations, so that he might begin to do in Spain what he had done in so many other places. In other words, to make at Rome what he had in Antioch earlier in his apostolic ministry.
Now, can you give us whatever insight you may have or your theories on what Paul was referring to by the spiritual gift that he wanted to impart upon the saints at the Church of Rome?
Well, most commentators simply suggest or assume that he meant to do there what he had done in the other churches, which was to build them up, to encourage, to exhort, to correct, things that we actually find him doing in the letter, right? Prior to his actually, anticipated arrival amongst them. Now we understand that he thought he would get there one way. He ended up getting there, by a longer, more circuitous route. But he did, as we know, he did finally get to Rome.
Yes.
But I don't think there's any special in the sense of unusual gift that he wanted to impart.
Not a supernatural one.
It would be supernatural, certainly in the sense that he's an apostle. And yes, as an apostle in this foundational era of the church, there are miraculous things that happen in his ministry, and of course miracles were a way, among other things, to attest to the divine appointment that he had. So don't want to underplay that, but you don't want to overplay it as well. Certainly he, and you notice how he, at that point, it looks like he corrects himself and says that we would be mutual blessing to one another, not just a one way. You know, he comes and he brings his blessing, so that the Roman church can benefit from it, but that he would benefit from fellowship with them as well. And I thought that, and I think that's a really beautiful reminder that Paul understood that the Christian life was not lived in solitary confinement, at least not on purpose, right? The Christian life was meant to be one lived in fellowship with brothers and sisters in your local setting. And of course, that's why you have so many of his letters, as he's... And now, very often his letters are circular letters, right? They're written to one church, but they're intended to be shared with others. And that's, of course, how, in God's providence, the letters of Paul were preserved. They were circulated, you know, amongst more than just the original recipients of the letter.
In fact, we see in here, I think, a wonderful Romans 8:28 example. That all things work together for the good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, because things were delaying Paul's arrival to the church in Rome. And because of that, he wrote this letter that has been blessing the church for centuries, for millennia.
So that while Paul thought that he would get to Rome simply by dropping off his the collection that he had been raising among the Gentile churches to bring to their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And of course he did that. But in the process of doing that, he got himself, arrested. And then eventually, after a few years, he appealed to Caesar, and eventually, and we have this recounted for us in the book of Acts, of course, travels from Caesarea to Rome and all the various stops in between.
By the way, I do want to give a shout out to two of your colleagues who have emailed me. Graham Dugas, I don't know if I'm mispronouncing his name.
Graham Dugas.
And also Ryan Noha.
Yep, Ryan Noha is a colleague of mine at the Reformed Forum.
Yes, they both have sent their greetings and thanked me for conducting this interview with you.
Well, they're good brothers. Graham and I are working together on a project regarding the recordings of the late Dr. Greg Bonson, the wonderful theologian, OPC minister, and apologist, pretty well known, I suppose, in our circles, for his defense, a tireless defense of the Christian faith. And the project is to raise money to, called the Bonson Project, to raise money to bring those recordings out from behind a paywall so that they can be offered free of charge to all those who would benefit, and we trust there would be many who would benefit by such availability of the resources.
Yes, I intend to do a number of interviews in the not-so-distant future on the life and legacy of Greg Bahnsen. I did not long ago interview Gary DeMar on the life and legacy of Dr. Bahnsen, because Gary has brought into print for the first time some teaching transcripts of Dr. Bahnsen that are available in book form now through American Vision. But I intend to do I might even do a week-long series and tribute to him in December during the anniversary of his death. But before that, I intend to do at least several interviews to assist in the fundraising of this work that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a worthwhile project. And yes, one of the, only God knows at this point, it might be that that one of the fruits of this kind of work would be the availability of some of his teaching that's only available, say, by way of audio, could be transcribed and made into book form. The kinds of things that over the years have been done with Martin Lloyd-Jones and Donald Gray Barnhouse and Dr. Boyce, so those kinds of things are not uncommon. It's what was done with the sermons of John Calvin, right? There was a secretary or a transcriber that sat in the services in Geneva who transcribed the sermons that Calvin preached. And we benefit from that labor, and a labor it was, but a labor of love. And even Paul's letter, is, as I mentioned, he has a secretary, or what is typically referred to as an amanuensis, but that's just a fancy word for a secretary. There's all sorts of discussion on how much freedom the apostles would allow the secretary, how much freedom they would give them in composing the letters. But in this instance, the secretary chimes in, I think, at the end of the letter, indicating by his name that he's Paul's third secretary. I don't know if it's a proper name. Tertius could be a proper name, or it could mean the third secretary. But Paul used secretaries. You can imagine, we can imagine Paul pacing back and forth in the room where he's dictating his letter. We often think of great leaders doing that. We hear stories of, for instance, Winston Churchill. That's often how he wrote his books. He would transcribe to a secretary. And so we know Paul did this, even perhaps other apostles did it as well. Peter perhaps using John Mark as that kind of a secretary. Paul, as you know, had traveling companions. He was typically not on his own. The one instance where he was on his own, I think, was Athens, where he was waiting for his colleagues to arrive before continuing on his missionary travels. So here Paul is wanting to convey the strength of his desire to meet the saints at Rome, and you notice he begins by saying that he thanks the Lord for the reputation of the saints at Rome, that their faith is the strength of their faith is conveyed in all the world.
In fact, let's pick up right where you left off there, because we have to go to our first break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your pastors or the predominant membership of your church over something we're addressing today, and you don't want to identify yourself, or you might even be a pastor, and you disagree with your fellow elders or your denomination over something that we are addressing today, and you don't want to draw attention to your identity. We understand that, but if it's not personal and private, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington after these messages.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hopley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates. here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Aronson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire show is Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, pastor of the Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. And he's also the vice president of the board of directors for the Reformed Forum and articles editor for the Confessional Presbyterian Journal. And I failed to do so at the beginning of the program. But before you delve back into Romans, Dr. Waddington, why don't you tell our listeners about the Reformed Forum?
Sure. The Reformed Forum is an online Christian education ministry outreach to assist the church in her calling to strengthen the saints, to call sinners to faith in Christ. And that's the big picture. It grows out of table talk conversations that some colleagues of mine and I had over the years, and it dawned on us 12 years ago now that these other people might benefit from our conversations. That, you know, doesn't mean that we had all the answers. We've been at this too long to think that. You discover very quickly that we're all still learning. We're all still on the way. But the Lord has blessed us. I have a lot of colleagues. We're a 501c3. We're incorporated as the nonprofit organization in the state and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The executive director is the Reverend Camden Busey, Reverend Dr. Camden Busey, and who lives out in Illinois. And those who listen to the Reformed Forum, we have a podcast, which is the center, called Christ the Center. That's our flagship, I think that's the expression we use, the flagship program. And there are other both text-based, which you read, and audio and video programs, very much like this one, some that are aimed at a higher theological level, because a lot of the listeners are guys and gals who've had some college and seminary training, we seek to bring honor and glory to the Lord, and that's you can easily find on the web at reformedforum.org. Most of the resources are free. There are a few that we charge for, but most of them are free, and we do typically around Columbus Day weekend, we have a theology conference out at Hope OPC in Grays Lake, Illinois, which is about 35 or so miles to the northwest of Chicago. But because of the pandemic, it was decided that we would postpone and then pick up, the Lord willing, next year with the conference. We haven't decided whether we're going to stick with the same topic or go with a different one. The topic this year was going to be the attributes of God. We've been at this for about 12 years, doing this, and we love it. We love doing it. We love, being of service to the Lord and to His church. That's the only reason why we exist, is to assist the church in her calling.
And if anybody wants to find out more information, go to reformedforum.org, reformedforum.org. If you could now pick up where you left off, we were entering into Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 13, picking up where we left off the last time, during our first episode on Romans. So if you could pick up where you left off before the station break.
Sure, absolutely. Paul is not afraid to commend the saints at Rome. he thanks the Lord for their faith. As I mentioned earlier, it's been reported throughout the world, presumably the Christian world in particular. So he commends them for that. So he's not afraid to compliment or commend them for an attribute, which of course is a manifestation of God's work in their midst. So he does that. So there's nothing in God's word that, you know, to say when the scriptures and Paul himself says that we ought to be sober-minded and not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. That's not the same thing as saying that the leaders in the church should never commend or compliment those who are in the church. That I think is going too far. It's a different thing, of course, if people use commendations or compliments as a way of trying to curry favor. That's a different thing altogether. But he encourages them, right? He's encouraging them here. And he reminds them that he prays for them on a regular basis, as Paul does the other churches that he writes. So that when he thanks the God, of course, that's in the context, no doubt, of prayer. He thanks the Lord for the saints who are at Rome, and he really does want to be to be in their midst to, as he says here, to reap a harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. He's been reaping a harvest among the Gentiles for the last 20-some years in his ministry as an apostle, and now he wants to do the same thing with at Rome, even though he's typically, as he will say later in the letter toward the end, he does not interfere in churches that are planted by other people, which gives rise to, which may be an indirect evidence of what I said earlier, that the church here was not planted, as I believe the Roman Catholic Church says it was planted by St. Peter. That it was planted by unknown converts to the gospel who may have been at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and then returned to Rome and brought their faith back to Rome with them. Paul has desired for a long time to visit Rome, and by God's providence he has not been able to do that, and as I've already said, the way he gets there will not be the way that he envisioned, I think, as he wrote this letter. And as you had already raised the issue, Paul longs to be of benefit to the church at Rome, and he longs for there to be mutual encouragement, mutual benefit. He is not above being encouraged by the brothers and sisters in Rome. It's an amazing thing to be at this point in the history of the church, to be the church at Rome, you know, the center of the world in that day and in that part of the Mediterranean, North Africa, Europe, Italy, Greece, etc. Rome was the capital of the world, and in Luke's Book of Acts, Rome has, I think, also a symbolic value. When Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth," Rome represents the uttermost parts of the earth known at that time in this part of the world. But remember, the church is a minority. Definitely a minority in the seat of power, in the city where the emperor and the senate and all of those in power and authority politically and militarily, this is where they come and go if they don't actually reside. And it is here that Paul longs to visit the Christians in this city. And he tells us that he wants to have a harvest among them, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles, And, of course, that includes those he's already been involved with bringing to Christ, and it also involves those he anticipates to bring to faith in Christ, especially the intended evangelistic outreach to the people of Spain. Paul tells us that he is under obligation to preach the gospel. Says that there in verse 14, I am under obligation both, actually I'm jumping ahead, but Paul is clearly wants to, is desirous of sharing the gospel. He not only has been commissioned to proclaim it, but he is a recipient of that same gospel. He is a recipient of the grace of God manifested in the sending of the Son, who in the fullness of time was born of a woman, born under the law, as Paul will say in Galatians. This gospel is what drives him as a Christian. It is the gospel that drives him, that fuels him as an apostle. And so he desires to be able to see a harvest from the proclamation of the gospel, especially among the people in the city of Rome. So that brings us to the next section, which would be verses 14 to 17.
In fact, that's a perfect place for us to pick up when we come back from the midway break.
Okay, very good.
And always, folks, remember, because I don't want you to be wondering why we're taking such a long break, this is the part of the program that we allow Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, to take advantage of a longer break in the show so that they can abide by FCC regulations and localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, by airing their own public service announcements and other things while we simultaneously are airing our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the information for as many of the ads that you hear as you possibly can, so that you can patronize as many as you possibly can. And when it comes to an advertiser, for instance, a church, you have a good church that you're already a member of, and you don't plan on changing that, and you're not going to be visiting the area of a church we advertise for a vacation, so you know you won't be contacting them or visiting them, you won't be visiting them. But if you can contact them anyway, just to thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, that may go a long way, because, folks, we need our advertisers to exist. We need the financial support that they provide to exist. We love all of you who donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, especially those who regularly donate. But the amount that we take in through donations could not nearly be sufficient to support this program completely, to remain on the air with all the bills that we have. We need our advertisers to exist, so please try to keep them happy so they keep renewing their contracts and keep supporting us. And also use this time by sending us an email with your question for Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington on the Book of Romans. Send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and always give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington right after these messages from our sponsors.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of 3 New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000.
354-2000 or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Today, at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart?
consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, remember to thank them at Solid Ground Christian Books for being a faithful sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by buying as many books as you possibly can, as frequently as you possibly can, by going to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com for the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. You're not only going to be doing them a favor and doing us a favor by helping us keep on the air, by keeping our advertiser happy, but you're going to be doing yourself a huge favor and anyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com. They absolutely have a veritable treasure trove of Christian literature from the past and present in their catalog. So go to solid-ground-books.com when you're purchasing gifts for birthdays, for wedding anniversaries, for retirement parties, to celebrate somebody's baptism, as a bereavement gift for somebody that you know who's lost a loved one, back-to-school gifts, whatever the occasion may be. And remember, please don't only purchase books from solid-ground-books.com for your Christian brothers and sisters. Purchase books also for those who are lost, because they need Christian literature, solid biblical Christian literature, perhaps more than anybody, that God could use these books to draw them into an eternal saving relationship with Christ. So, go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com for all of your gift-giving needs, and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We truly do need this financial support and funding of Solid Ground Christian Books to exist, and barring a miracle of God, were they to, out of necessity, back out of their advertising contract, we would likely have to go off the air. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. It's not easy to repeat fast many times. Solid-ground-books.com. Always tell them that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron. Before we return to my guest, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, I just have a couple of important announcements to make. Make a note on your calendar. This Monday, we have a first-time guest. I'm really excited about this interview. Gordon Runyon, who is an author and pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church of Tucumcari, New Mexico, he's going to be addressing the theme of his new book, Resistance to Tyrants, Romans 13, and the Christian Duty to Oppose Wicked Rulers. That's this Monday, and that is the 14th of September. So I hope that you make a note to tune in and send in your questions to Pastor Gordon Runyon. We'll also be giving away free copies of Resistance to Tyrants to those, the first among you, who submit good questions, good enough to be read on the air. And we have a limited number of copies, of course. So I hope that you send in a good question and win a copy of Resistance to Tyrants, Romans 13, and the Christian Duty to Oppose Wicked Rulers. Tell everybody that you know, especially those that are politically minded, perhaps, to tune in this Monday. And we hope to hear from you with your good questions. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a check the old-fashioned way, well, when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, you will see displayed on your screen an address where you can mail those checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You can also advertise with us. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe here, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, please never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. And never, if you are really struggling to survive, you're really wondering where you're going to be able to pay important bills or pay your rent or get food on the table, please don't jeopardize the financial stability of your own family by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you're in that kind of a serious predicament. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands of God, providing for church and home, then please donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as frequently and as generously as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And please, folks, use that money perhaps that you've been saving because you haven't been going out fine dining during the hysteria connected with the pandemic. You've been saving money because you haven't been going to your favorite sporting events. You haven't been going to the movies. You haven't been going to plays and theatrical performances. You haven't been going to Bible conferences, and you've been saving a lot of money, perhaps. Well, please use some or all of that money to help us remain on the air, if indeed this show is important to you and you don't want it to disappear. We really need your help because we lost our two largest financial supporters due to the hysteria from the pandemic. Their businesses were so impacted negatively by the hysteria that they had to, at least for the time being, cease from financially supporting us. I don't know if this is permanent or temporary, but I'm praying that they return. But until then, help us make up for this huge financial loss so that we can remain broadcasting. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church that is biblically sound, you don't know where to find one, wherever you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church because I have lists of biblically sound churches all over the world. I have helped many people in our audience find churches that they didn't even know existed, sometimes right around the corner from where they live, all over the world. And sometimes I help people find churches where they're going on vacation or if they have friends, family, and loved ones who do not have a good, solid church that they're aware of. I have these lists that may be able to help you. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. chrisarnson@gmail.com, "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in questions to Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington on the Book of Romans, our topic for today. This is the second in our new series on the Book of Romans. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Dr. Waddington, before we go to your continuation of the exploration of Romans, as we will be picking up in verse 14 in Romans chapter 1, we have an anonymous listener who says, "I am from a Roman Catholic background, and the biggest claim to the primacy of Peter as the first pope is the fact that Jesus made the claim that Peter was the rock upon which the church was founded. They exegete this to mean that he was the first pope. How do I break my Catholic family, friends, and loved ones free from this delusion? I need your help."
Well, okay, no pressure. Well, I mean, you'd have to go to, Matthew chapter 16.
Yes.
I believe.
It is Matthew chapter 16.
So if you, our listeners, and especially the folk who sent that question, which is a very important question, we can look at that and see, okay, well, what was going on? And it's beginning at verse 13 of Matthew 16. Jesus and his disciples, his close band of disciples, the 12, have come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, now I'm quoting here, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" You'll remember that in the Gospel of Matthew, our Lord often refers to himself as the Son of Man. In fact, we could say that it's his favorite expression for himself. So the disciples answer, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Obviously, our Lord is wanting to get feedback from his own disciples, not merely passing along what they've heard from the crowds of people who have come to see Jesus and benefit from his teaching and the miraculous healings. Simon Peter, beginning verse 16, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, or son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. and they tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. So you have here the confession by Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, that is the anointed one, the one who has come to save his people from their sins. Now, of course, in that day, there were many false notions of what the Messiah would be. Typically, and I think it's the reason why at the end of the chapter there, or the end of the passage, he says, he charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Well, why does he say that? Well, because of the misunderstanding of to be the Christ. To be the Christ, in the mind of our Lord, is not to be a political or military leader, but to be the one who would come and give his life as a ransom for many. But Peter says to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, or Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So this is, Jesus is saying that, Peter, you gained this insight from revelation by the Father. It is not merely you heard someone else echo this thought, but that you have recognized who I am because of the ministry of my Father who is in heaven. Now, that's okay. That's fairly straightforward. Right now we come into what I would call the dicey section, verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter. That's of course his name. That Jesus had called him. Simon is Simon Peter. That's what he's often referred to. Sometimes you will see him referred to by the name Cephas, which is simply the Aramaic form of Peter, or rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he goes on to say that he will give to him the keys of the kingdom. What does it mean to say that I will, that on this rock I will build my church? Well, the Roman, typical traditional Roman Catholic exegesis of the passage is that Jesus is making a pronouncement about Peter himself, his person, whereas typically of Protestants, and I myself would argue that it's not Peter himself as an individual. Some have argued that it could be Peter as the apostle, a soon-to-be apostle, in that function, official function, as a super natural or extraordinary officer in the church. Apostles and prophets were referred to as extraordinary officers, as over against pastors and elders and deacons, who are called ordinary officers in the church. So as Jesus is saying, on you personally, Peter, I will, you are the rock, and that's, of course, Peter means rock or stone, and on this rock I will build my church. Or is he saying that on you, Peter, I will build my church? That would be the traditional Roman Catholic understanding. But there's no reason to think that that is the proper understanding of the passage.
In fact, I can refer people to an outstanding refutation of that Roman Catholic view that Peter was the first pope. The Matthew 16 controversy, Peter and the Rock, by Dr. William Webster, who's a dear friend of mine.
Yep.
And you could go to...
Former priest, right? The former Catholic priest?
No, you're thinking of Richard Bennett.
Oh, okay. All right.
In fact, William Webster at one time was a colleague of Richard Bennett, but no.
Okay. Gotcha.
He was not a priest. But you could go to christiantruth.com, ChristianTruth.com to order that nearly 400-page refutation of the I would call it the heresy of Rome on Peter being the first pope. Now, I'm not saying it's a heresy to believe that Peter was the rock that Jesus was speaking of, because even D.A. Carson and others have believed that, but not with the other weight that Rome gives it, not to a succession of infallible popes, not to a primacy of Peter and the other alleged popes. In fact, one of the reasons this has relevance to our discussion today on Romans, from what I understand, the scriptures never mention Peter ever being in Rome, and we don't even get the idea that he was in Rome until near the late 2nd century, right?
I don't remember off the... It's, of course, part of tradition that he did visit Rome, but that's tradition, right? So it's not to be invested with divine authority. But the thing is, here in this text, Peter, it's the faith that Peter exhibits, that's the rock, not Peter himself. It's the faith that Peter exhibits, given by the Father, that is supernaturally given, upon which the church will be built. The church is built upon a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So there is, Jesus is saying something about the church and the power of those who serve in the church when he talks about the keys of the kingdom. The whole idea of a pope, of course, is something that develops over time subsequent to the New Testament. And to see Peter as the first pope, frankly, is a reading back onto the scriptures what is not present in the scriptures. And I'm sure the book by William Webster, I have several of his books in my library as well, is a solid, thorough refutation of this. And I'm sure, I would imagine that Dr. James White also has some helpful material on this topic.
The Roman Catholic Controversy would be the primary book that would contain something about... And of course, it's debates. He's debated on the very issue of the existence of popes and so on. The
we know, for instance, that St. Augustine refers to, who was a bishop himself, right? He refers to the bishop at Rome as a colleague, not as a superior. And that's in the 400s.
Right.
So historically, I think it's untenable.
Especially with Athanasius.
Right.
They don't call him Athanasius Contra Mundum for nothing. He was Athanasius against the world, which meant the vast majority of those in magisterial leadership in the Catholic Church. And he never bowed to any insistence or mandate of a bishop in Rome to formulate his teaching, and made it clear he was deriving his beliefs from the scriptures.
Right. So is this, in other words, the text in Matthew 16, 18 and following in particular, is not a basis for the primacy, or what we call the Petrine office. Every once in a while, if a pope visits, you may even actually hear that expression in the news. So what is the Petrine office? Well, that's another name for the papacy. But what's interesting is that the faith that Jesus refers to is the faith that Paul is talking about in the book of Romans.
In fact, we have more. If we were going to invent an office of pope, the Bible gives us more ammunition to choose Paul, a lot more information to choose Paul over Peter. I'm not saying that we should do that. I'm just saying that if someone were to choose a biblical figure to be to have primacy above anyone else on the earth other than Christ, it would be Paul, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, and you may have even had this in the back of your mind, Chris, that Paul, he rebukes Peter, and that's recorded in the book of Galatians.
Right? Oh, yeah.
When, So Peter, now Peter,
for his anti-Gentile Peter, bigotry.
Yes, Peter does receive that rebuke properly, because later in the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, he's clearly got the message, and Paul's rebuke, of course, is that you know better, right? You don't withdraw from table fellowship with Gentiles because these so-called colleagues of James in Jerusalem come, and you're scared. You don't want to offend anybody, but you just offended your brothers among the Gentiles by withdrawing from table fellowship. But anyways, the faith that the Lord commends or refers to in Matthew 16:18 is divinely given faith, right? He's professing, and you see there in Matthew 16:18, prior to that, you see Peter's confession that Christ is the Son of the living God. That is both his personal faith, but it's also the faith that he professes that becomes, we might say, public property, right? It's what we talk about, the faith by which we believe and the faith that is believed. So there's two different senses, among many others, that we often talk about. When we say the faith, we're usually referring to the faith that we confess or profess. Now, coming to verses 14 to 17, we come, I think, to the heart of Paul's gospel, although in our day this is challenged by many scholars, including Protestants. It's part of the disputation surrounding the new perspective on Paul. But let's hear these words from the Apostle Paul. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So you have there kind of the summary of if you had to choose verses that summarize the real issue in the book of Romans, it would be verses 16 and 17. But before we look at that, just a few observations about 14 and 15.
Sure.
What does Paul mean when he says he's under obligation to Greeks and barbarians? And by the way, those would be, in the Greek mind, the two categories of people. In other words, we barbarians are non-Greeks. The Jews would be classified under that category. And then Paul says both to the wise and the foolish. So the Greeks are the wise, barbarians are the foolish. In the mind of the typical Greek at the time. So he's under obligation. What is he under obligation to them for? And why? He's under obligation to preach the gospel to them. And really what he's saying is he's under obligation to God through the people that need to hear the gospel. So he's under obligation to them because he himself, one, has experienced salvation in Jesus Christ, and two, he has now called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, so he has an obligation to them because God has placed that commission on him. And because of that, he's eager to preach the gospel also to those who are in Rome. And by the way, the church in Rome was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, and there's discussion amongst various commentators and scholars as to the proportion of the Christians in Rome who were Jewish as over against Gentile. And there is an assumption, or there is a belief held by many commentators, that the church in Rome tended to be more Jerusalem-centered, if I could put it that way. So there would be the temptation to want to see things that have passed away because of the coming of Christ, the ceremonies like circumcision, become a means of salvation for folk. So there might be temptations toward that in Rome that there might not be in other places in the Mediterranean region where Paul had planted churches. So he goes on and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why would he have been ashamed of the gospel? Now, understandably, before he came to faith in Christ, he would have been, you know, if I put it that way, he was opposed to the gospel. That was his career as a Pharisee. He held the garments of those who stoned Stephen, the first martyr after the crucifixion. And he gave his approval to the stoning of Stephen. He then, of course, is involved with the general persecution that occurs in Jerusalem after that. And it's, of course, that circumstance that God uses to drive the disciples out of Jerusalem, and the gospel is initially taken to all Judea and eventually even to Samaria. And then Paul is on his way to Damascus when he gets stopped dead in his tracks by the risen Lord, and, you know, the rest is history. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He's seen it at work in his own life, and he's seen it at work in lives, countless lives, during the 20 years of ministry that he has had. The gospel is not something to be ashamed of. I suppose people looking at it might say, well, you know, this gospel is based upon the divinity of this backwoods, area, backwater region of the Roman Empire, that this man is put to death as a criminal, and you're saying he's the Son of God. Well, you know, so that may be in the background, but the truth is, it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. Well, gospel is good news. That's what it means, good news. How is it good news? Well, because it proclaims, it heralds a way for us to be freed from sin, both its guilt and its corruption or ongoing power. All to the glory of God. And it refers both to the historical events involving our Lord's life, death, and resurrection and ascension. It also refers to the proclamation of that, of the account. So both are in view here, I think. And when he says it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek, this is not a reference, this is not an attempt to make first-class Christians and second-class Christians. It's simply noting that, as a matter of fact, the Jews were the Old Testament church, and Christ, as to his human genealogy, is a Jew. And therefore, redemptive historically, the gospel came to Jews first, and also it comes to the Gentile population, or in the Greek. When Paul mentions the Greek, that's a synonym for Gentiles.
In fact, I think this is a key verse, 16, to obliterate the false and popular practice of what has been called lifestyle evangelism. Now, I am not saying that our lives should not reflect the gospel, and our lives, obviously, and our deeds and our activity is crucial in making what we say have integrity. I mean, in the book of James, if you just speak words and tell people truth, but you don't have love, if you're not demonstrating good deeds, your faith is dead. But people have adopted this notion: I don't have to preach to people, I don't have to declare the gospel to people, or at least not, that's not a high thing on the ladder of importance, really what I need to do is just be a good person and a good neighbor. So eventually these folks will come to Christ because they want to visit my church and so on. Well, that is not, your activity is not the power of God unto salvation. It's your, it's the gospel. Am I right?
Right. And you know, along those lines, you've heard the statement often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, preach right. the gospel and use words if necessary.
I hate that quote.
which is nonsense, right? The gospel must be proclaimed verbally. I mean, there are good pagans who do good things, good deeds, right?
So there are pagans that surpass us in
right,
their good deeds.
Exactly. Right, and so you can't simply be, it must be both our manner of living, but also we must share verbally the good news of the gospel. That must be done. Now, I would say that not every believer is equally gifted with the facility of language to explain the whole gospel, but you can easily say my pastor could explain this all to you very well, and you lead your friend to talk to your pastor or another friend who does have facility.
And in fact, that's a good reminder for our listeners to get a hold of as many copies of Ultimate Truth by John Blanchard to pass out, because it's a perfect summary of the most important things that people need to believe.
Yeah, we do need to, I think, especially, Chris, you know, in our day where the Christian religion has become, I'll coin an expression, I don't think anybody else has used it, and if it's silly, it can be forgotten, but hyper-privatization. In other words, and you know politically that the last election cycle 4 years ago, there was discussion about freedom of religion, and it had been turned into freedom of worship, which meant that you can believe whatever you want as long as it's locked inside the four walls of your house or the four walls of your church. And of course, the Constitution talks about freedom of religion, which includes all of life, both public worship and private practice.
In fact, when I was a resident at the aforementioned Hebron Colony Ministry, when I tragically and shamefully backslid into alcohol addiction, actually, it was before that. I'm sorry. It was before I went to Hebron. I was in a major hospital on Long Island that had a drug and alcohol rehab wing. And I went there to wait for an open bed at Hebron Colony Ministries.
Right.
And this was a secular drug and alcohol program that was based on the 12 steps. And by requirement, I had to go to group therapy with a secular psychologist. And she was talking about how you can put your faith in a higher power, and it could be anything that you want it to be. And I said to her, well, I just have to speak up here. I'm a Christian, and that is utter blasphemy to say that that you could do that. And she said, well, you know, I understand that you may have your cherished Christian beliefs that you hold dear, but why can't you just keep them to yourself? Why do you have to bring them up everywhere, like in a setting like this? And I said, my forefathers in the faith, which would include not only men, but women and children, many of them were tortured and executed because they wouldn't shut their mouths over the gospel. I'm not going to do that just because it makes you feel more uncomfortable.
Yeah, no. So yes, you know, when we speak up, people might be mailing copies of How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dale Carnegie's little book there.
But I have to go to our final break. I have to go to our final break right now, and you can pick up where we left off when we return. This is our final break, and if you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision.
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Welcome back. And Dr. Waddington, we only have a few minutes left, so perhaps you should summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding the passages that we've addressed. In fact, I realized that we went further in our first episode on Romans than we both initially thought, because some of those verses we had you exegete today were also a part of our first broadcast. So we did some overlap, but I think you brought out some new insights that we didn't have in the first program. But if you could.
Sure. Just basically verse 17, and as you know, Chris, 16 and 17 are at the heart of the Protestant Reformation. They're part of the breakthrough or the insight that Martin Luther had. So he says in verse 17, Paul does, "For it is the righteousness that is in the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And that's a citation of Habakkuk chapter 2. The righteousness of God, what does that mean? Is that, there are, I think, three possible meanings of that expression. And of course, the one is, it's God's inherent righteousness, his character. The second would be his righteous deeds in history. And then the third would be his gift of righteousness. And it is Luther's rediscovery of what Paul is teaching here, that the righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel is the gift of the righteousness of God is revealed in the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And belief in the Christ of that gospel that enables us to be just in the sight of God, that is to be forgiven all our sins, and also to be provided with the righteousness that God requires in terms of obeying his law. That is what I would want people to go away with, that is the nub of the issue, that And that is what the Reformation was a contention about. And it wasn't a tempest in a teapot. It was a battle over what is the gospel. In Galatians, Paul anathematizes, curses those who preach another gospel. Remember what he says. If an angel comes and preaches another gospel, or if even I come and preach another gospel than the gospel that I have proclaimed to you, then let him be anathema. This is how important understanding this is, that in the gospel, we are not given a new law. There is an expression that sends shivers down my spine, is for the New Testament to be called a new law. It is a gospel. It is a provision of righteousness that is not our own. It is a provision of what Martin Luther called an alien righteousness. It is a righteousness that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ as the obedient servant of the Father, and that righteousness is shared with all those who trust in him and therefore are united to him by faith. That is the gospel. That is the gospel that Paul is not ashamed of. That is the gospel that is the power of God. So the gospel must be shared from the pulpit, from the pew, in church, outside of church. That way people hear the gospel. And the gospel is not just what Jesus has done for you. As important as that is, and good as that is, the gospel is what Jesus has done. That is the gospel.
Amen.
And if you never get around to that, then you haven't shared the gospel. You may have done something really nice. You may have done something, some humanitarian deed, but you have not shared the gospel, period.
That's right. There are many people who far surpass us in humanitarian deeds that will be in hell because they neither believe in nor do they share the gospel. There are people clothing and feeding the poor in many inner cities that leave or allow those folks, those poor folks, to leave with full bellies, but who are still headed for hell because they have never heard the gospel proclaimed at these places that are otherwise doing very wonderful things. But I want to make sure our listeners have all of the information they need to contact you. They may have heard something that they want some clarification on. First of all, the website for Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, is faithopc.net, faithopc.net. Don't forget about the Reformed Forum that has a podcast and many other things that they do, including conferences and so on, reformedforum.org, reformedforum.org. That's where our guest, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, serves as vice president of the board of directors. And also, let's not forget about the Confessional Presbyterian Journal, which is also
cpjournal.com, I think, or .org.
Yes, that is a fine publication for which our guest serves as the articles editor. And that website, again, it's not .org, it's cpjournal.com. cpjournal.com. And I want to thank you again, Dr. Waddington. I want to let our listeners know that he will be returning to continue his series on Romans, God willing, just in a couple of weeks on Thursday, the 24th of
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. And I hope that everybody has a safe and blessed weekend. I hope that you all have a Christ-honoring and God-honoring and joyous Lord's Day. And I look forward to you folks returning to the program this coming Monday, again, when we have our first-time guest, Gordon Runyon, on the program to discuss resistance to tyrants, Romans 13, and the Christian duty to oppose wicked rulers. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. God bless.